Good morning again. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are pleasing and true, that somebody hears something that they need to hear today, not just with their ears, but with their heart, that they see something in themselves that needs to change for the better, for you, for the good of your kingdom. Amen. So when we think of spiritual attack, I think I usually jump automatically to like the devil or temptation or division or fear, something like that, right? But there's another type of attack that you may never think of has anything to do with your spiritual growth. But it's got me wondering, what do all these things have in common? By the way, if I'd have said any of these words 15 years ago, you would look at me like I was nuts. But here come the words. Uber Eats, Amazon, Instacart, Netflix, DoorDash, what do they have in common? They all allow us to be isolated. To take this further, some people have now found a way to never have to leave their houses. They work from home. They can literally order anything they need to their door. Since COVID, we now even have telecare for our medical needs. That leads me to this question. What if all these technological advancements, though they're beneficial for our efficiency, are actually doing damage to our spiritual health? Let's hold that tension for just a second. Welcome to week 4 of our series called Rooted. Life is hard, so when the winds of society try to blow us away, our roots in how we understand and subsequently contact and connect with God holds us strong. In week 1, we learned that God is for you, right? That week 1, we learned that that you are special and you've been created for something great. Week 2, we learned that God is for transformation. He loves you, but he doesn't want you to stay the same. He wants you to change. And last week, we saw that God is for them, as we talked about how Jesus challenges us to love those who are different from us. You probably expected me to come in on a zip line this morning because of my athletic prowess last week. And that's a lie for those of you that weren't here. It wasn't that big a deal. Although I don't think I've ever heard a congregation that I was talking to gasp as one. And they did that last week. I think it was fright. And thank you for being concerned about me. Today, last week we learned that God is for them, that we're to be concerned with those that aren't like us. But today we're going to learn that God is for us. God is for us in doing life together. Page after page of the scriptures challenge us to move toward one another instead of apart. Over and over and over. In Genesis, we learned that we are made in God's image. In many places, we learn that God is three in one. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is community. Doesn't just like community. Doesn't just think that's a good idea. He is community. The very definition, the very essence of God is community. That alone should convince us that at a DNA or a spiritual level, we are made for one another. But God goes on. The first thing we learn at our creation is that it's not good for us to be alone. That's right. Didn't have to all shout it at once. Additionally, God established a family by pulling the Hebrew people together in Israel, and then when Jesus came, what did he do? He pulled 12 disciples together to train them. All exactly alike. Nope, not even close. And when Jesus sent them out to share the good news of his coming, he never sent them out alone. I think it's a brilliant leadership tactic. What a brilliant spiritual tactic. He never sent them out alone. Jesus then birthed the church through the Holy Spirit. And in Revelation, we see every tribe, every nation, and every tongue around the throne of God. Everyone. So literally, from the beginning of time to the end of time, we see God with one consistent pattern, inviting people to come together instead of pulling into isolation. The question is why? Why do we need people? Aren't people the problem with this world? The answer to needing people really has so much to do with our spiritual health. In fact, here's a rooted concept of the day. And it says, you will not grow alone as much as you will grow with others. That's the key for you to understand today. In the New Testament, when God is forming the new church, the phrase one another appears 100 times. We are told we are to love one another, to protect one another, to pray for one another, to bear one another's burdens, and so on and so on. Since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to one another, and each of us needs all the others. Why do we need each other? Well, it's because we help each other in our spiritual journey as we grow together. As we look at all of the one another's, they really fit into these four categories. The first being, we need one another because Christian community is God's answer to fatigue. Nothing will stop your spiritual growth quicker than fatigue, burnout, exhaustion from carrying the load of life. Listen to how Paul says it in Galatians. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. As we've talked about many times, we have our responsibility to accomplish on this earth, right? Do you know why you're tired? Because of two reasons. First, because you try to do it all. And second is because you try to do it all by yourself. Reminds me of one Sunday 16 or 17 years ago, I had a 100-pound bag of rocks, and I said, I'm going to carry this bag hundreds of miles. Of course, no one believed me. But then we had everyone come and take a rock and took it home. Many hands make light work. Your mom ever tell you that? Those rocks were carried by hundreds of people away from that stage that day. Dozens of people, I shouldn't say hundreds, but the hundreds of pounds were taken from the stage. The weight was light together. It makes me think of the geese we keep seeing over us this time of year, right? That fly in that V pattern. They carry each other on an updraft as they honk to each other with encouragement. Yeah, we don't like what the geese leave on the ground, but boy, it's beautiful when they're up there flying in a V, right? You got to admire that. Burdens get lifted so much more when we do it together. At the core of helping people through their fatigue is love. Love is a verb. Of all the one another's, love is the one another is the most common in the New Testament. Jesus said it this way, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love listens to someone else's world and asks them, how can I help? And that's bearing each other's burden in tangible ways. Now, I've heard it said this way, that the church, that the Christian community is the school of love. It's the place we learn how to live out Jesus' mandate to us all. If you went to a wedding this past summer or recently, you may have heard the famous 1 Corinthians 13 chapter on love. And it says, at the end it says, faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love. Why is love the greatest? I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked. Because it's the only one that lasts for eternity. Faith is not needed in eternity. Hope will be obsolete. But love will continue to expand. Isn't that amazing? Love is a verb, and it can only be utilized in community. So when we love one another, we are tapping into a glimpse of heaven, into a glimpse of God's nature. Because God is love. So Christian community is God's answer to fatigue. It's also, Christian community is also God's answer to failure. In Romans, we are told that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Guess what? You are included in that word all, just to let you know. So you know what that means. We really aren't shocked when any one of us stumbles morally or spiritually. We assume you have things that trip us up. That's why we exist as a church. The reason we want you to know Jesus is because he is our Savior, right? That means he saves us from our sinful tendencies. That's what he's saving us from. Our being prone to wander. And guess how he heals you? Confess your sins to blank so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So what's the answer to that? What does James say brings healing to your life? Jesus? Well, of course he does. That's not what James writes. James writes, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Isn't that incredible? He doesn't say confess your sins to Jesus, which you definitely can, and you definitely should. Don't hear me wrong there. But James gets very practical. He gets right in our face by showing us the blessing of together. And he states that healing happens as we share honestly with each other. Why? Why? Because when that happens, we pray for one another. And then, as a reminder, look at the end of this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This concept of lifting each other up in our struggle and our failure moments is in the DNA of our church history. It's what we're rooted in. We're rooted in helping one another through any spiritual crisis. When John Wesley was in ministry in the 1700s, he had two different types of groups. One was called the classes, which were larger groups for study and worship. This would be more of a class here. The other were called bands. Now, the bands were very small groups of 3 to 5 people who would answer very deep questions. I have this printed up from my Saturday morning men's group. We used to do this regularly, and after doing this today, I think we're going to do it again. It's basically asking them, did you act with integrity in your work life this week? Did you struggle with lust at all this week? Were you tempted in any other manner this week? What were your work ethics? Did you work for what you were paid to do? What was your behavior as a husband? What was your behavior as a father? At the end of each meeting, this is a killer. They would ask each other, have you lied about any of your answers tonight? And then they would probably meet for another 5 hours. Praying for and supporting one another is essential because we all have blind spots. If you have a tail light out, I can see things you can't. Because tell me if I'm ever unzipped. Don't let me stand up here with a whole sermon. Just don't. And I've told you my story about my wife and I knowing that I needed her in my life. Don't let you have spinach in my teeth. Don't let me have spinach in my teeth. Tell me. We need people who love us and will say, hey, you know, you don't seem like yourself right this minute. You okay? You all right? Something going on? You want to talk about it? We need people to pick us up when we mess up. How can you know if you're going in the wrong direction if you're not with people? Right? That leads to another aspect of why we need one another. Christian community is God's answer to despair. I can't tell you the number of times I hear people come up to me and say, when they're going through a crisis, I don't know what I'd do if not for my faith and my church family. I don't know how many times I've heard that. And it blesses me. Watch how this equation of care works. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort one another when in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That's a lot of words jumbled together there. That's the way Paul does it. Mark shared it with us. I'm telling you what, this is one of the verses that I held on to, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Held on to it for dear life and continue to hold on when situations arise, and I'll explain that in a second. But my point is, nobody should ever face death alone, surgery alone, wait for tests from the lab alone. I remember one time Ilsa dropped me off for a lab test, and she says, I'm going to take off and I'll come back. I said, okay. She says, no, I'm not leaving. You know, she was supposedly joking with me, like she would leave. I didn't think it was a big deal. She thought it was a really big deal. I don't leave you when you're in need, right? Way smarter than I am. No one should ever have a problem pregnancy alone. No widow should spend the first night alone after her husband dies. We were not meant to face crises alone. In community, we carry the pain together. If one member suffers, all suffer together. The Jewish faith has a beautiful tradition of Shiva. When somebody dies, you go over to their house and you sit. You know what you do? you don't talk to people. You sit there. You sit there. If they need to talk to you, they'll come to you and talk to you. But you're there. I think that's a beautiful tradition. Beautiful tradition. When you engage in the body of Christ and let us walk with you through our pain, you will experience the tangible love of God. A week from today, I was trying to remember what date, a week from today will mark the passing of our son Clayton. He would have been 40 this year. That's hard for me to wrap my arms around. But I think of this on this All Saints Day, that without that being able to share that pain with others, that death has comforted a lot of people that have gone through that pain. Would I rather that not had to have happened? Of course. But it did happen. And now the pain that others suffer when they lose a loved one that's younger than they are is something that Ilse and I can speak into, and we can hear you, and we can pray with you, and we can cry with you. In a small group, when someone starts to cry, don't panic, just pray. Let the comfort you've received from God through your crisis be a tangible love for others as they face their burdens. Some of you might say, I've tried all these things, but my issue is just more complex. That's why I'm proud to be partners with and in ministry with Cornerstone. Cornerstone Church has been working diligently to build a counseling network. Do you know that at this point, Cornerstone has 21 professionally licensed counselors in their network now? Take advantage of that if you need to. If you need to, talk to me, call me. Because our ultimate goal is to be sure that there are no barriers to you receiving care from somebody that knows what they're talking about, not just an opinion from somebody else. Maybe that's your next step in connecting with someone. Maybe you want to be alone, but you know you shouldn't be. And all this is to say is that you are not alone. That's one of the core purposes of this church body. Sharing your life with others within the church and the body of Christ does help us so tangibly through the times of fatigue and failure and despair. But there's another aspect of our spiritual health that causes us to stop growing and to simply plateau or fade in that growth. Very theologically heavy word. I don't want you to get lost in it. But the Christian community is God's answer to meh. Anybody in that posture ever? Just blah. Maybe years or even months ago, you were on fire for Jesus. You prayed, you studied scripture, you felt close to God. But today or in the past few weeks, you just saw your spiritual life as just meh. But today, or in the past few weeks, you'd say your spiritual life is that way. But I love how the Hebrew writer seems to call this concept out in Hebrews 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Now, look at that phrase, let us consider. What does that mean? That means we should ponder and think about how to inspire each other or to press on when we reach that plateau. And maybe sometimes that spiritual journey feels like your physical journey. You know that feeling when you feel pretty good and you go on vacation and just eat way too much and don't do anything except lay around. And suddenly you feel like you're back to the beginning or even weaker than before. I think that's like our spiritual life. It feels like walking with Jesus is like going uphill with skates on. It's exhausting. If you stop, you roll back down the hill. That's why we push you to gather with each other. None of what we have talked about today just comes naturally. It just doesn't. Like I said in the beginning, people can often feel like the problem, but don't stop meeting together. We have taken on the language as a writing team called the wall. And you can grab this concept too. You all hit the wall. We all hit the wall spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally. that can feel impossible to climb over. Anybody felt that? Don't raise your hand, but I'm guessing some of you have felt that way. And that's why I push for you to be with one another so hard. My goal is for each of us to be growing closer to Christ as a disciple. That's what I want us to do each and every waking moment of every day. And at the end of the year, I want you to be able to look back and say, yes, I'm closer to Jesus today than I was a year ago. I want that to be something that you can say. But you realize that it doesn't just happen. In fact, it doesn't really happen here in this worship center. You can be inspired, absolutely. But what we have right now isn't community, it's a crowd. You're not talking to each other. You're sitting next to each other. That's good. But let's be honest, spiritual maturity can't happen in this setting. Like we said last week, it can't happen in rows, it happens in circles. Goals are established here, right? Commitments are made, intentions are set, your heart can be realigned. But real growth happens when it's lived out in the next 6 days, tested in the trenches with people, in dialogue with others, not in monologue from me. Sunday morning is inspiration. Monday through Saturday is perspiration. Of course we're going to do a cute rhyme for that, but you'll remember it. Because the real workout spiritually is when we see a brother or sister in Christ in fatigue or failure or despair or meh, to have the courage to get engaged with each other. I know it's not easy. I know it's a tough message for a lot of us that want to just be by ourselves, that we may be social on a Sunday, but we prefer to do life alone. You know, when you're alone, you get your own way, turns out. You can do what you want. That's the problem. You're not learning cooperation. You're not learning love. You aren't growing through challenges. I'd love to say that you can grow in Christ hiding in your prayer closet or spending your days reading scripture and listening to music. Those are all incredible times with God. Don't let me hear anything different from that. And they are going to fill your heart. But the real evidence comes when you are cheated out of money or cheated out of a promotion from a coworker. The real evidence comes when pressure increases around you and you want to lash out at everyone in your way. You know what? God designed the perfect tool to help you handle those situations with Christ-like integrity. You want to know what that tool is? Us. We need one another. Deep down, you know this is true. So in your small group, in your small sphere of influence, maybe try sharing a little more honestly this week. Ask their permission. See, can I share something with you that I've not shared with anybody else, and I'd rather be confidential, but I need you to hear my heart? Or maybe find one or two people in that group or at work or a trusted friend and share more of the deeper parts of your life so that you experience the fullness of what God wants you to experience in this life. This, I guarantee you, is your best way to grow. With others. With one another. And on this day in particular, when we think of the saints in our life, when we think of the brothers or sisters that have passed, when we think of the husbands and wives that have passed, when we think of the grandmas and grandpas and aunts, maybe not even this year, but in recent times, when you realize what you experienced with them, what honesty and open conversations you had with them, that's when you remember the saints. The saints who have gone before us. You didn't just read what they said or wrote. You spent time with them and hugged them and laughed with them and punched them in the arm when they needed it. That's what remembering the saints is all about. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your gift to us of each other. What a blessing. You knew right from the beginning. You said in your word right from the beginning, man is not meant to be by himself. It's not good for man to be alone. He needs to have that partner with him, equally sharing in ministry together, sharing in life together, sharing in misery and joys and celebrations together. Lord, I ask for any of those that are hurting or lonely or need somebody else, that you find somebody for them today. And they continue to grow in their faith because of their belief in you, but also in their dedication to serving one another in love. Amen.